Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, September 2nd, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 43, that third paragraph, once more, through one paragraph ending, must come from a higher power. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Lilan P., 12 Traditions, Mary P., readers of the text, Penny L. C. and Chanel T., and also Vanessa G. Reference number for Sunday, September 1st, is 21,704. That's 21704. And for this morning, Monday, September 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,705. That's 21705. The newcomer greeter this morning will be Loretta M. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Lilan P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, I'm Lilan P., recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in our affairs.
Thank you so much, Lilan P. from Germany. And I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book and we're on page 43, the third paragraph, once more through the end of the paragraph with must come from a higher power, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Penny LC to read and then share with us.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Once more, the alcoholic, at certain times, has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases, neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. And in reflecting on this paragraph, I can see how it outlines more information and more explanation about alcoholism and being an alcoholic. Through examples of firsthand experiences, it defines the problem of being an addict, and for me, a compulsive eater. The facts are laid out to help me discover and then decide how very powerless I am over the manifestations of my disease. I'm given information that leads me to begin to understand how significantly I'm affected in all aspects of my being, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. These sentences drill into my mind how unmanageable my life is and always will be, and how much I need a power greater than myself. They punctuate how self-knowledge and willpower are and always will be insufficient. Could I relate to the examples given in this chapter? Could I identify in? Do I? When I review my history, am I able to see how I have had the same issues, the same ideas, and made similar attempts to break free and had similar results, which were failures? And if so, at this point, am I able to see I'm at a crossroads? Do I believe that freedom from my disease can happen by myself with my own strength and knowledge? Am I able to put down my old concepts of self-propulsion and consider an alternative? In short, I see these sentences, this last paragraph of this chapter, putting an exclamation point on step one. And I get to choose. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Again, we're on page 43, the third paragraph there. Once more, through the paragraph ending with, must come from a higher power. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Karen KZ, Missouri,
New Jersey.
Okay, I have Karen KZ.
Shanna C.
Ian F.
Joan Marie M.
Diane N.
Vanessa G.
Agnes A.
Beautiful.
Cameron
I have C. And Donna C.
Laurie R.
And Laurie R. And let's go ahead and stop there. That's a fantastic lineup. I have Karen KZ, Shanna C., Ian F., Joan Marie M., Diane N., Vanessa G., Agnes A., Donna C., and Laurie R. Fantastic. Karen KZ, please go ahead and get us started, followed by Shanna C.
Thank you. This is Karen KZ, recovered in Missouri, gratefully recovered. I love this chapter, and I had written at the end of it here, there's such a clear message here. And I love it that they say, once more, because how many times have they told us? The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink. I think what's really important for me is I don't just have a defense, mental defense against the first drink, but against my selfishness, against my self-seeking, my dishonesty, and my fear. Those are things that I really have no defense against. They just are there, and they just come up. And the answer here is, there's no human being that I can't stop this stuff. I cannot do this. Boy, I tried my whole life, and I still keep trying. But it says, the defense must come from a higher power. That's where the whole secret is to me, that without a higher power taking over my life, my thoughts, my words, and my actions, I make a mess of things. I make a mess of things, and I still make messes. But I am relying so much on my higher power, inviting my higher power, whom I call God, to take over every single day throughout the day. And when I get that, you know, it's not following my script and I'm disturbed at you or I'm disturbed at the world, it's all in me. And it isn't anybody or anything that's causing my upset. I love in the character defect sheets, the dishonesty one. I think that so-and-so doing that or this not happening is the reason I'm upset. No, the truth is the reason I'm upset is what I'm thinking about it. And on my own, I can't change my thoughts. But when I invite my higher power to take over, everything changes, and my life is more of a beautiful melody instead of a chaotic mess. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ. And now we'll have Shanna C. share, followed by Ian F.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee, and it's a miracle for my life. And grateful to be on here, and welcome to the newcomers. those who have popped on the line and are, you know, like, what is this about? Why can't I stop eating? Well, that's no effective mental defense against that first compulsive bite. It says at certain times has no effective mental defense. Like, for instance, in my experience is I can go to a place and know I've been there a million times and I know what to eat, what not to eat, or whatever, or I can know it all day long. And then all of a sudden I'll get there and it's like the rug gets pulled out from under me. I can't, and then all of a sudden, well, maybe it'll be different this time. That's why I have no effective mental defense over, because it's those strange mental blank spots that are often referred to. If you go through the reading, the book, and the doctor's opinion talks about that as well, is the, you know, unable with sufficient force to bring about the memory of the pain and suffering of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense to drink. You know, and for the compulsive overeater first bite, I happen to be both alcoholic and compulsive overeater. And I'm here to tell you that for me, in my experience, food and that mental obsession around the food is exactly the same as been with the alcohol. And then for me, those certain alcoholic food ingredients or whatever, once I start eating them, I literally cannot stop. So if that helps anyone today to understand that, from, like, at least for me, it took me a while to understand the severity and the seriousness and, oh my God, the similarity. Like, it's easy to think, well, people don't get thrown in jail for eating too much. Well, I don't know. Whatever, maybe some people do. I don't know. I just know that for me, I need something to stand in the way of that thought that says, well, maybe, because I literally will forget the pain and suffering of the last time I ate or binged, and I'll pick it up again thinking I have control when I don't. That's powerlessness. And thank you. I'll finish up. And yeah, I need power to remember this stuff and power to act and not pick up that. Right. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I hope everyone has a fantastic Labor Day.
Thank you so much, Shanna C. Ian F., it's your turn, followed by Joan Marie M.
Hi, this is Ian F. In Indiana. No shares on this particular reading. We're going to be popping. Also, happy Labor Day. Yeah, I mean, I love that they write effective defense against the first drink. It's not an effective defense even against the first binge. You know, it's the first drink is what's dangerous. And I actually wrote in my big book, next to that, I crossed out first drink and wrote licking the spoon, because that was something that I used to do. It was never like just going straight to a bag of candy. It was always I'm prepping something and then I lick the spoon and then I'm off, you know? And the fact that this is the thesis of More About Alcoholism, this last paragraph, they're like, hey, once more, right? It's not your sponsor, it's not a fellow, it's not you who's going to defend you against licking the spoon, it is a higher power. You know, and that's what we need. And it ends the chapter that way, because it's like, all right, this is the thought I'm leaving you with, and now we're gonna go into talking about that, you know, and I think, you know, when people relapse, you know, or we spend, like I did, a year and a half wanting to get abstinent and not being able to, that thought comes up, like, why can't I do this? You know, but then we get stuck in this circular thinking of, like, why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? I'm doing everything that I can. I'm trying so hard. And it takes a really long time of that before you go, I can't do anything. And I need to stop trying. And that's where the step one decision comes in. So if you're in that place, realize I'm trying. That's where we get hung up. So that's what I got to share. Love y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Indiana. Joan Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Diane N.
Good morning. Good Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone, and that's on the line that gives me so much. And sometimes I think in the big book that the smallest paragraphs are the most powerful. But anyway, okay, what stood out was once more, at certain times, no effective defense against the first bite for us, except in rare cases. Neither he nor any other human power can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. There's not many times in the big book where it says must. And right here it says must. And so I know from experience that it had to be a power greater than myself, because I tried everything to stop eating compulsively, thinking about food, dieting, and all the other stuff. God did for me what I could never do for myself, but I had to let him. And how did I let him? I listened to Vision every single day. I got a sponsor. I have a food plan, and I text it to her, and I do a nightly review. That's what keeps me sane. That's what keeps me connected with God. With when I put the food there, the connection with God is broken because I can't put anything in front of God or in between. It has to be that direct power, just like when you plug in when you're plugging in something to bring light. And when I plug into God, I get light. I can see if I miss the mark. I can see when my thoughts or my attitudes were wrong. And I can ask God to help me do that, because I can't, like someone just said about the other things, I can't do those things without the power greater than myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you guys all who share.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. And we're now going to hear from Diane N., followed by Vanessa G.
Good morning. I'm Diane N. from Georgia. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. Recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And I'm out walking. It sounds like I have an echo or something. But anyway, I just want to say that I'm grateful for that reading today. Oh, my goodness. One of my favorites as well. Because it helps me to remember that there's a blueprint. This everything we need. And I know that we often, there's also something in the big book that talks about it's a simple program, but it's not easy. And it's very simplistic. And it gives us the direction, you know, just follow. We're beyond human aid. And I don't know why 4 years, because I've been in the room since 1980. And in recovery since the pandemic, you know, I'm a relapse survivor, so a chronic relapser. And today I'm so grateful to be in recovery because I realize it's a gift. And I realized for years, talk about being a slow learner. For years why can't I get it? Everybody else in the rooms are getting it. Or why do I have to do it this way, wanting to do things my way? This, you know, doing it my way seemed to make a lot of more sense, even though I was chronically relapsing. It wasn't, whatever I was doing was not working. But today I realized that I have to live in steps 10, 11, and 12, and which means I have to work this program every day. I never got that. It took me a long time to realize that you work those steps every day. It's not a once and done thing. I have to live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And which means I got to work all the steps every day. Steps 4-10 is steps working 4-9 every day, looking at my, you know, what's going on with me, my selfishness and self-centeredness. But I'm so grateful for the reading, and I'm so grateful you guys are here today. And one other thing that this reading reminded me of, and I'm not even sure, thank you. When it comes to alcohol, my alcoholic food, I'm beyond human aid. So I need God. I need a higher power. And I thank God. Thank you guys for your service today and for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane N. from Georgia. Vanessa G., it's your turn, followed by Agnes A.
Hi, everybody. My name is Vanessa. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. So some of you may have heard me say this before, but the first time that I was given a big book, I skipped right to chapter 2, There is a Solution. That's, you know, the title of the chapter that appealed to me, and I read through that. And I think it prepped me, in a way, to get into the next chapter, more about alcoholism. You know, I don't think I've ever found any place in the first 164 pages that they've actually referred to denial as a noun. And in terms of addiction, but it was the crux of understanding addiction for me, understanding what denial actually was and how impossible it is to permeate that without some help from the higher power. It's just sort of God's grace and mercy, like a lot of people talk about, that gets through, pierces that denial. And one of the things that I did one time and going through this chapter was list all the ways that they describe denial. And now I have my sponsees do it. And I'm just going to go through those real quick, and then I'll let you guys go on with the meeting. But it starts out with, we were unwilling to admit that we were real alcoholics, this chapter. And then it talks about countless vain attempts, the great obsession, disillusion, the delusion, every form of self-deception and experimentation, puzzled and humiliated, the peculiar mental twist, helpless, foolish idea, plain insanity, a lack of proportion, a lack of ability to think straight, curious mental phenomenon, insanely trivial excuse, the insane idea, insanely insufficient, little serious or effective thought, absurd and incomprehensible, having queer ideas, crazy, strangely insane, subtle insanity, an alcoholic mind, strange mental blank spots, 100% hopeless, no effective mental defense. Yeah, by the end of the chapter, I was convinced I'd better get a higher power. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share this morning and to give back to this meeting. It's been a lifesaver. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. Agnes A., it's your turn to share, followed by Donna C., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Agnes A., and I'm calling from California. Oh, well, I felt like I should say something because maybe I'm recently, freshly reminded, you know, of my lack of defense against that first bite. You know, I really can't add more to what has already been said, you know, except to echo that, you know, at all times, there is no effective mental defense against that first bite that sends me off, you know, except for a higher power. You know, the story of my life in the past 30 years of doing Overeaters Anonymous, you know, shows that to me, right? That there is a program that taps into that higher power that keeps me sane, both eating, weight, and life on its own terms. If I deviate from those, unfortunately, right, then I'm on a slippery slope and soon all is lost. But if I follow the blueprint, right, then, you know, it all comes together and it's like it's effortless. It's effortless because I'm powered by a higher power. So every day I get up and I do the same things. I get in touch with God. I try to make amends. I take a record of how the day was, right? And it's like somebody guides me to the store so that I don't buy more than I need for the week, et cetera, et cetera. So then it works. But if I start not doing the 12 steps, not going to meetings, not checking in with my sponsor, this, that, and the other, very soon I'm depending on myself. And I even hear myself telling God, yeah, I'm on a relapse, God, but I'm not quite ready to surrender. Forgetting that the willingness to surrender also comes from a higher power. So that's where I am today. But I'd like to finish by saying that even when it's not perfect, right? Whatever perfect may be, not a perfect program. It's like God is always like one whisper away. And so I am not, even as I try, I am not able to do as much damage as I used to in the past, because God is doing for me what I can't do for myself perfectly or imperfectly. And with that, I pass. I have a program that tells me what to do. And once I have the willingness to surrender and do it, life is beautiful in all facets of it. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Agnes A. from California. Donna C., it's your turn to share, followed by Lori R., if I got your name right, Donna.
It might have been Tamara.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you so much, Tamara. Yep, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Okay. Oh, no problem. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. I had an experience this weekend where I experienced that strange mental blank spot. My mental defense was saying things like, you know, it won't hurt me this time. I've been making too big a deal about this ingredient. I'm not like others who can't have even a trace amount of it. I've had it before without consequence. It'll be okay. And it surprised me. I haven't had that in a long time. And I had a really good talk with my sponsor about this exact paragraph, how my mental defense does not build up over time. Whether I have 5 minutes or 5 years of abstinence, I never reach a place where now my willpower is strong enough or my self-knowledge is strong enough that I can stay away from that first bite using my mental powers. My disease will always be there. It's very cunning and it's a liar. And so my spiritual action, it connects me to a power. It doesn't increase my mental defense, my willpower. And so if my defense is me and my ability to think my way to staying abstinent, I'm in a lot of trouble. It just won't hold up. My disease is too strong and my mental defense will fail. And my story has proven this to me. So my one defense, my only defense, is my higher power. And I'm learning that God is always right here wanting to help me. And my spiritual routines help me reach for this higher power who runs to my defense when I want it, when I give up trying to be my own higher power. And I got to experience that. I was given grace when my mental defense was failing me. My higher power did not fail me. And my spiritual routines helped me reach that source of power. As I had done my nightly review the night before, I had my prayer and meditation. I worked with a sponsee. I reached out to my higher power throughout the day. And my higher power was right there. And it was a gift for me to see I still will always have my step one. And the good news is I also will always have defense, my higher power. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C. from Missouri. And after Lori R. shares, I'm going to be taking some more names. We're talking about page 43, the third paragraph that starts with once more through the end of that paragraph and the end of the chapter there that ends with must come from a higher power. So, Lori R., please share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service. This is Lori R., gratefully recovered in Massachusetts. The mental blind spot, unable to prevent myself from going to the Ready Whip bottle. If any of you know what Ready Whip is, it's a bottle, whipped cream, second ingredient, sugar. I am abstinent, working with my hair on fire, going through the steps with my wonderful sponsor. Getting into the real digging below the surface, digging below the surface. Part of my amendments, writing a letter to my mother. I felt that letter was more of a blame, like, woe is Laurie, woe is being raised by this woman. I was actually looking up sugar-free Ready Whip. I was finding out, I was asking questions online. You know, if it's no sugar, is it good? The insane thoughts of this disease. I'm rational when it comes to work, I think, but I'm unmanageable. That was my focus yesterday. God got me through. I did not, you know, put the Ready Whip on a spoon, did not put it in my mouth, and did not, you know, partake of it. This morning, with my left hand, I wrote a letter to God about my mother. And that is where the breath of God breathed life and forgiveness and the resentment of all that I have with her in that breath of God. Left hand, writing like a child, talking to God about my relationship with my mother. Is there a magic wand now? Absolutely not. But he gave me the grace of scales falling from my eyes to see things differently. Not as a victim, but a part of his beautiful mosaic. Please keep coming back. That this disease is working hard and is angry and wants to kill me, but I'm not going to, because I'm plugging into God and I'm plugging into each of you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lori R. from Massachusetts. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Aaliyah A.
Joanne
Chuck
B.
Chuck A.
Shirley R.
Okay, Aaliyah A?
Yes, Aaliyah A.
Oh, Aaliyah A. And then there was a gentleman's voice. Who was that?
Jeff A.
Jeff A. And then there was another woman's voice after Aaliyah A. Who was that?
Joanne B. Vermont.
Joanne B. And was there
Shirley
another
Russell?
Voice? Pardon?
Shirley Russell from California.
Okay. All right, Shirley, I'll put you on at the end, and hopefully we'll have time. Aaliyah A., followed by Joanne B., and then Jeff. Aaliyah, please go ahead and share with us.
Okay, my name is Aaliyah A., and I'm based in Montreal, Canada. So, yes, mental defense, that's a big one for me, because I want to share the experience. 2 weeks ago, I was feeling very sick. I had very, very bad constipation, like I couldn't get out of bed. And I asked my husband to go get me some medication, and he got me magnesium citrate. So I just drank the citrate, the magnesium citrate, you know. And then I started to have cravings after 1 or 2 days, and I didn't even read the ingredients on the box. And I realized after 2 days that the magnesium citrate had some artificial sweetener, and I could not have any defense. It put me into a binge, and it led me back to the food and to the sugar, because the phenomenon of craving that the book talks about is real. And it wasn't even something I was enjoying. It was medication. But it really put myself into a situation where I could not overcome this. And because I was so sick and not feeling well, I couldn't work the program in these 2 days. And this showed me that I have to work the program every day, And I have to read the ingredients every single time, even if I'm not feeling well at all. And I was abstinent for 2 years. So it was a very good lesson for me. And by the grace of God and the mercy of God, I was able to get back into abstinence after 4 days of binging. Now it's been 2.5 weeks, and I could not enjoy being in the food because I missed my life of being happy, joyful, and free. And this was a very, you know, to show me his work and to be my teacher and my director, that I cannot in any way, you know, every day I have to work the program and not rely on myself, but rely on my higher power. So it was a very serene experience. And this mental blind spot was there that they are talking about, you know, in the big book. The disease is cunning, and my only defense is my higher power. And, you know, I had willingness to surrender to higher power. And I loved what somebody said, that God is only one whisper away. This program is a program of action. Mm-hmm. We have to work it every day. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Aaliyah A. from Canada. Joanne B., it's your turn, followed by Jeff.
Hi, this is Joanne B. from Vermont, and I'm hearing a weird echo, but maybe you guys can't hear it. It's just me. So this paragraph and this meeting has been great, and a lot of the shares I can really identify with. I had the other day a mental blank spot, just like we've been discussing, and so I'm a teacher. I was at school, and I went down to the teacher's room. We had a brand new laminator, and I'm like, oh great, I get to use the brand new laminator. So I went down there, and there was nobody in the adjacent offices. It was quiet. There's nobody around. And lo and behold, there's a can of popcorn, that caramel and cheese popcorn, sitting right there. And without even thinking about it, I opened it up and I grabbed a cup and I scooped some out and I started eating it. And I followed with 2 more cups, and that was my mental blank spot. And I knew what I was doing, and I was aware of the fact that this was triggering me, and if I didn't stop, I could have eaten the whole thing. So I stopped. And I got in the car and called my sponsor and told her right away. And it is so true. I discussed it with her. I told her about what I was feeling beforehand. I said, I had a mental blank spot, and that does happen from time to time. And I constantly have to be on guard because it can happen anytime. It's kind of like the story in the story about Jim. He's like, suddenly I thought, hey, if I had a shot of whiskey in my milk, it'd probably be okay. No mental defense at all. But I knew I knew enough to turn back to my program, to turn to my sponsor for help, and then turn to my higher power and get down on my knees and pray and continue to do the things that keep me healthy. I have to stay close to this program, and I have to stay close to God, and I have to work on that every single day. Otherwise, who knows where that would lead. And yesterday I went to a family party, and there was a cake, and everybody was sitting around eating the cake. And except for me, I was the only person not eating the cake. And it looked good, but mm-hmm. I was okay. And I know that's because of my higher power. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joanne B. from Vermont. And Jeff, it's your turn to share. Please give me your initial and where you're calling from.
Jeff A., California. So for me, I have two amends left. Bob and a brother. And I can't even think of doing anything for my brother. I just can't. And God's been telling me, don't worry about it. Eventually you'll make your amends, but right now you can't deal with it. But he has told me that with Bob, I need to make this amends. And I've been humming and hawing, and for 3 months I haven't done it. And middle of the night this morning, he's like, do it today. He's 10 minutes away. I see him at church every day, every week. And he's like, so the problem is I feel like he hurt me so badly, right? But my higher power says, get on with it in a nice way, but a firm way. So I did text him, I'd like to talk with you. And so he hasn't texted me back. Just being send him that text was the hardest thing. And of course, I actually have to go and make amends to boot. But I know God's got a plan for me, and it's sometimes I got to do hard things. And this is one of those people who have offended me. I need to let that go, realize that he's, you know, from my point of view, he's a child of God too. And I'm not going to be around him too much, but maybe I will. I don't know. I'm going to let God prevail in my life with him. And hopefully the miracle happens that God gives the peace that I really want, because I really haven't talked with him in 1 year. And I'd like to at least have the best relationship I can with him. Even if it's a short one, small one. So anyways, I'm going to do it. We'll see how it goes. And I hope God will make it work for me, because I can't do it on my own. I just can't. I can't do that. But with him, maybe I can. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. from California, and thank you to everyone who shared. Unfortunately, Shirley, we aren't going to have time for you to share, so please come back tomorrow. We would love to hear from you. And we're now going to close this meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Vanessa G. again, recovered in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.